for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Wednesday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, July the 1st, 2009. Janie Hobson is the speaker of this service, teaching on sinking spells.
All of you that are new to me, this is something that I don't do all the time. Only when Brother Glenn makes me. And I do have I'm a little bit overwhelmed because, especially after trying to follow Brother Bejou this morning, that was an awesome message and just so timely. And I feel like that it was truly a message from God. We need to listen to that tape many times to really get the full extent of what God was trying to show us in that. And he did wet and mess with some of my people that I'm going to talk about today. But hopefully I'll be able to present this in a way that it will touch you as it's touched me, as God kind of showed me these things. So y'all just pray for me as I stand up here. And at this time, I'd kind of like to pray, okay? Father, I do thank you for this opportunity to speak to the ladies. And Lord, you know my heart. I truly desire to give them what you have shown me out of my experiences, Lord, and out of my growing process. I would like to share with them that you are always faithful and that you've been there for me. Even in some of my darkest hours, Lord, when I failed you and cried out, you were there. So, Lord, just help me now. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start in Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Behold is an alert of warning. And what do you think made Peter such a target for Satan? Why did he pick him instead of one of the other disciples? I think that Peter was the most outspoken. He was the quickest one to respond to what Jesus was teaching them. And he was the quickest to be there to speak out. In Matthew 26:33, he says, though all men shall be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended. In Matthew 35, he says, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. So what a threat he was to Satan and to the kingdom of darkness. Because not only did God have great plans for Peter, but Satan was aware of that because he had seen the boldness of Peter as he stood beside the Lord. And to sift, in Webster's dictionary, means to separate coarser portions from finer. And Satan knew that there was a part of Peter that might be sifted and that it might fall away. So he was after Peter. To sift means to scrutinize, to examine closely, to shake up and down vigorously. And I think Peter was very shaken. And Satan was doing his best to test Peter's faith. We all know the rest of the story. Peter did deny the Lord. He failed him miserably. But do you think God just cast him aside? We know better, don't we? And the same goes for us, ladies. When we fail the Lord, he still looks on the inward heart. And he knows that this is just a time that you're going through. And he woos you back. And he mends those wounds. And he ministers to you. and he encourages you and brings you forth. Because he says in Luke 22:32, he says, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. But I, Jesus, have prayed for you." And we know, because of John 11:42, that Jesus knows that God hears his prayers. So he was confident when he prayed for Peter that he would be restored. And he says, the word converted, he says, when thou art converted, it means turned, changed, recovered. He says, when you're turned from this sin, when you're recovered from this offense, and when you are changed by this, then use your experience to warn and strengthen those who are in the danger of the same sins. So confirm them, warn them, encourage them. They are in danger also. So we're to use our experiences also to comfort and sustain those that might be going through the same temptations. Remembering that a man may be turned from any sin or evil course, he may be recovered as often as he falls. And we read on in 1 and 2 Peter, and through his whole life, Peter made up for that time that he had rejected the Lord. And in his death, he even manifests his grief and guilt of that time when he requested that he not be crucified as the Lord had, that to be crucified upside down on the cross. And like I say, Brother Bezu messed with Elijah and Jeremiah this morning, and I'm going to mess with them a little bit more. Because, you know, when we look back at the Old Testament, we think of some of those saints and those prophets as, I mean, they were just awesome, weren't they? They were walking and prophesying the words of the Lord. But you know what? They had some sinking times also. Elijah was a very powerful man used of God. But back in those days, King Ahab had brought in the Baal worship through his wife Jezebel. She had enticed him and wooed him, and he had set up altars for the Baal god. But we read in 1 Kings 19:1, it says that God had told Elijah, he says, let's see, let's read in 1 Kings 18, starting in verse 21. God has told Elijah to go and challenge Ahab. And Elijah came unto the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, follow him. And the people answered not a word. We go down to verse 24. He says, "And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the Lord that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Now Baal was supposedly the god of fire. So this was a fair test, don't you think? This is a pretty fair test that Elijah put forth. So he told them to bring two bullocks. I guess that's just like a cow, a bull. I'm not sure. But anyway, he told them to bring them and to split them in two. And he built an altar and placed the bullock on there. And the Baal gods did the same. And he told them, he says, "Cry out to your God. You know, let this bullock be consumed with fire." And they cried out many hours. They did all the things that they knew to do to get attention from their God. It says that they even cut themselves with knives in the manner of their worship. It says that the blood gushed from them, but there was still no answer from Baal. So then Elijah told him, he says, "Pour water around the altar." He says, "Not only fill it once, but fill it three times and cover the bullock with the water." And so they did this. And then it goes on and it tells us that God answered and consumed the bullock, and he licked up all the water that had been poured around the altar. And so Elijah, proving that God was God, he told them to kill the Baal priest, and so they were killed. But then let's go on. In 1 Kings 19:1, it says that then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." So totally spent from this tremendous act of God's power being manifested through him, Elijah was attacked by Satan through Jezebel. And we look at that and we think, oh my word. Or at least my natural self, I look at that and I think, my word, you know, God has shown himself to you so tremendously. How can you run from a woman? But he did. But do you think God cast him aside? We know better, don't we? It says in verse 5, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat." And we read where that meal alone lasted Elijah 40 days and 40 nights. I'm telling you, some God faithful to us even when we're unfaithful to him. Talk about Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, he also was a prophet of God. And he says that the Lord put forth his hand. Let's see, where am I? Well, the first thing I wanted to read to you out of Jeremiah was in chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." And I know the first time I heard that scripture, it was at a life, what do they call them, anti-abortion. Pro-life meeting. And you know, I'd never thought about that before. I was very young back then, and I had never, I mean, I knew that you shouldn't have an abortion, but it didn't really penetrate, you know, the reasoning behind it. And when I heard this lady speaking, when she spoke about that, I thought, oh my, God knew me in my mother's womb. It touched my heart, and from then on, I've been a very pro-abortion. I think that it's a terrible thing that women can even consider this, that I just think that God has blessed each child that is conceived, and that we need to minister to these young women that are in that place in their lives where they need to make that decision. But anyway, let's go on and look at Jeremiah. He says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." And in verse 18, he goes on, "For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." As we continue to read on, we see that Israel became a very adulterous nation. They began to practice idol worship, and God tells Jeremiah to go and to cry out and to go to them and tell them And as he began to bring this message across the land, he was rejected. And he was also thrown into stocks. And it says that while he was there, looking in chapter 20, verse 7, he says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me. I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed, and I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. Do you think he felt that God had betrayed him? Because we just got through reading what all God said he was going to do for him, and how strong he was going to be, and how he was set against the nations, how he had even put him as a defensed city with walls around him. But here he was, down in this dungeon, and he said, you persuaded me. Your will was stronger than mine. And he says, you promised me protection, and look, I am now delivered into the hands of my enemies. And in Jeremiah 29, he says, then said I will not make mention of him. I'll speak, nor speak any more in his name. And I think, Ronnie said that this morning. And I did raise my hand because I know that when Nathan and I, when the Lord touched Nathan and began to turn his life around, it was like all hell had broke loose at our house. And I cried out to the Lord. I said, oh Lord, you know, what's going on? You know, here we had four beautiful children. And things begin to happen after we begin to turn our lives around and serve the Lord. And I do think that we all need to be aware that Satan does not want you serving the Lord. Just that cut and dried. He does not want you to serve the Lord. But just like Jeremiah, he says, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He said, I'll not make mention of him. I will renounce this prophetic office, and I'm going to return home. And I'm telling you, I've been there. I thought, okay, if this is what it's going to cost, Lord, I'm not sure I'm willing to pay that price. I'm not quite sure. As we go on down in verse 20, 11, and 13, we see where Jeremiah kind of got a guilty conscience, didn't he? And he was sorry for his hasty and disobedient decision to leave the Lord. Felt ashamed and was a fire burning in his bones. He says, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble. And they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O God of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the band of evildoers. But ladies, let's go on. He had another sinking spell. In 14, he says, cursed be the day when I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not. Let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontime. He was just a little bit upset, don't you think? He was just really calling it down. Because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. Not only did Jeremiah feel like that God had failed him, he himself felt like a failure. He says, I've gone out there and I've done what you told me to do, and you just let me fall flat on my face. And how many times have you ever fallen, ladies? What's the first thing you do? You look around to see who saw you. Who saw you fall? It's a rather embarrassing situation. So Jeremiah was quite put out. Do you think he was being sifted by Satan? You know, at the lowest points in our life, Satan's going to come in. And I want you to know that Satan wants to sift every one of us. Not just me, but all of you also. I don't know where you are with the Lord today. I know that if your heart is turned toward Him, then Satan wants to sift you. He wants to shake you. He wants to rattle your cage, you might say. See what falls out. But in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And just as these dedicated men we've looked at today, and others such as Jonah, Moses, David, we can all have sinking spells. By the way, that's the title of my little sermonette this afternoon. Sinking spells. Because we do have those sinking spells. Times when Satan sifts us and he brings in these words of condemnation. He says, look at you. Look what you've done. How can God possibly use you now? How can God possibly forgive you? You know, you've stepped over the bounds. You've gone just a little bit too far. But we look back at these men, and we know that He's still going to use us if we will allow Him to minister to those situations in our life. And I have been sifted. This part I wasn't real sure about sharing with you, but I know from my own experience, just like I told you last night, as we sat and listened to these two women of God share some of the trials and the things that they had endured in their walk with them, it encouraged me. It let me know that I am on the right path. I am walking where I need to be. Because like I said before, when we begin to turn our lives around and try to serve the Lord, the first thing that hit us was our oldest daughter. Her senior year in high school, she was an honor student, very beautiful, very gifted. She came and told me, Mom, I think I'm pregnant. And my heart cried out, God, where are you? Where were you when she needed you most? When she needed your strength to resist this temptation. But that little voice inside of me. The second thing that hit us was our second daughter, a very beautiful, vivacious, blonde cheerleader, very popular in school. And she loved all the little underdogs. You know, she'd bring home stray cats and dogs and stray boys. And she was in high school about the time of the drug situation, and she was introduced to drugs. And so she, at a very young age, began the same walk that Diane was talking about. She became addicted to heroin. She gave birth to a beautiful little girl. And I do want to encourage you, Rosemary. She spent a time incarcerated. And during that time, a beautiful woman of God ministered to her. And during that time, she turned back to God. And I just thank, you know, I just thank Him daily for that lady that took her time to go and share with my daughter. She knew the Lord. She had grown up in our home. She didn't lack in any knowledge of God, that drugs can do a tremendous thing in their lives. It can take them down a path that maybe they don't really even want to go, but there they are. But we lost her at a very early age. Tracy did not survive the illness. And so she passed away. And Nathan and I adopted her little girl. And unbeknownst to us, that little granddaughter suffered with terrible depression. She felt abandonment. She had a lot of... And we struggled trying to help her through those times. But you know, God was with us. And we now are beginning to see the light in her life. She's beginning. She's a very sweet young lady. I had another daughter that all she wanted out of life was to be married and have children and be that good little wife. And after 11 years and two babies, her husband waltzed in one day and told her that he didn't love her anymore. He had found someone else. And once again, our hearts cried out, "Oh God, where are you?" And she loves you. She serves you. And this is all. But you know, this little voice just kept telling me that it was going to be all right. And as we prayed, Nathan and I, we really sought the Lord on behalf of our children. We continue to do that. We are beginning to see them come around. But we did cry out. And in Mark 9:23-24, he says, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And in verse 24, it says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." And I want you to know, ladies, I never doubted. I always believed. I always believed that God could. But there was a time in my life where I had to begin to believe that He will. He will. And I think part of us, maybe that's where we're still at. You know, we believe that God can, but do we really believe that He will? And like the Father, I cried out, "Help thou my unbelief." We cannot conceal these times from the Lord. He knows us. He knows our heart. He knows everything about us. From the womb to right now, God knows my every thought. He knows every feeling, every emotion that I experience. And even though the spirit of unbelief and doubt and struggles might at some time in my life taken control, He messed those thoughts, those feelings down to disown them and to begin again. And in John 17:15, just as Jesus prayed for Peter, He prays for us. He says, "I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil." Jesus knew there would be times that Satan would try our faith. But I think He's saying to us, just like He did to Peter, when you're converted, when you come back, Janie, when you're strengthened, when you've realized that I have brought you through these times, then you strengthen those that are... And I can tell you, ladies, without any hesitation, that out of all the experiences in my life, God has always been faithful. He's always, I say, in my darkest hours, He was there. And in Romans 8:28, we read, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them who are called according to His purpose." I know that God has chosen me because His Word says so. So if He's chosen me, that means He has something He wants me to do. And in my simple way, I hope that I have been able to share that with you today, that God is faithful. And I think looking out that you probably are some moms that maybe have gone through some of the things that I have encountered through my lifetime. But don't be discouraged. Always look to the Lord because He will fulfill His promises to you. Have you had a sinking spell? Anybody here want to fess up to a sinking spell? a thinking spell, a lifetime of thinking spells. There you go. Well, I've heard that. I can't remember exactly what it was tied to, but it did, you know, I've heard that saying, to get a rope and tie a knot on it. But if you're like Jeremiah, and you say, God, it's not working. I was there. I said, God, this is not working, you know. We're trying to serve you, and it's not working. If you're like Elijah, and you let words from other people discourage you, bring you down, then you need to realize that God's going to be there, just like He was for them. And ladies, out of every situation that may come and knock the breath out of you, with that first gasp of air, breathe the name of Jesus. Jesus, help me. And ladies, this afternoon, I know Carla will help me. And I'm sorry, Sister Carol, I've forgotten your first name. Bonnie. Okay. But if you feel like that out of some of these situations in your life that you've let a spirit of anger or bitterness, maybe even anger toward God, was it even a time when I cried out and said, God, you didn't fulfill that promise. You know, I was really quite angry with Him for a while. I was so hurt and so low that I thought, oh my, you know. He even helped me through that, and I think He understood. But I did, I felt betrayal. I felt like, you know, I had been standing on the promise that He was going through this grandchild, and that she was struggling with in secret became known. I was so crushed. I was so crushed. And I think that Satan used that time to try to build a lot of distrust in me toward the Lord. In my mind, I had perceived what I thought He was going to do in that situation, and God had to reveal to me that she is her own person and He has to deal with her and her heart. I can't do that for her. I can't mold her and make her. So He had to break me and allow me to release her to Him. It was a hard thing. Maybe out of hopelessness, you've just given up and you're no longer trusting in the Lord like you should. We want to pray for you this afternoon. And I do hope and pray that maybe this has been helpful to someone here this afternoon. And I'd like to come up. And like I say, I know that Carla and Bonnie would be glad to assist me in prayer this afternoon. So we'll just call for a time of prayer, okay?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.